Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, July 24th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, He Knows All About You. Our text comes to us from John chapter 16, verses 29 through 33. And now, here is Pastor Zoni.
Well, we're looking at John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, and just looking and picking up some truths that can accommodate our present state of spiritual need. And today we're looking at something very special, and it's found in John 16, and it's verses 29 through 33. And so let's read that, and then we will go into our concepts here of what we can dig up and what we can use for our daily life. Then Jesus' disciples said, Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you come from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, and yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God bless the reading of his word. There's no way to understand this except that Jesus knew who he was dealing with, lost humanity. And Jesus was a realist. And in this passage, we see that Jesus says, Alfin, it's about time. You now believe in me, huh? Now you believe me. Before, disciples did not know what to make of Jesus. They were questioning him. And they were asking themselves, who is this rabbi that we're following? But in a moment, the disciples understood the omniscience of the omniscience of God, everything, he knows everything, when before they could ask a question, Jesus would answer the question. Because Jesus knew their hearts, knew their minds, knew the people, knew them. He knew them very well. Jesus knew their reasonings. He knew their heart. He knew all there was to know about those disciples he had with him. But Jesus, because he knew this, he was a realist. He understood where they each stood. And Jesus is a realist when it comes to you. He knows you. Silence, huh? Just to think of that. Jesus knows you. And in spite of the fact that Jesus knew the disciples and he knows us, he still loves us. In spite of their belief or unbelief, Jesus said, the hour is going to come when you're going to leave me alone. You're going to walk away from me. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Listen, Peter. Look, you think I don't know who you are, but I know you better than you know yourself. It's extraordinary about Jesus that he knew everything that was to know by his disciples, and he knows everything about us. He knew the weakness of his disciples. He knew the failures of his disciples. And he knew that they were going to let him down in the moment of his greatest need. People said, hey, master, I'll follow you. And Jesus said, you know, birds have nests and foxes have, but the Messiah, I don't even have a pillow where I can lay my head on. And they walked away from him. Another one came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you, but first I'm going to go bury the dead. And it's, in other words, yeah, I'll do it, but when it's convenient to me, and my father hasn't died yet, so whenever he dies, I'll follow you. There's so many people who want to follow the Lord, and the Lord challenges them because he knows us. He knows us. He knows each one of us. But here's the message this morning. He knows you, and he still loves you. He loved his disciples, and not only did he love them, not only did he love it, he also trusted them. For Jesus to love us and to trust us should be overwhelming, because there's something working behind the scenes, and that's God's grace upon you. Christians often forget God's grace is not there in vain. That none of us can come before the Lord and say, I'm perfect. None of us can come before him and say, you know, I've done pretty good this week. Because we all fall short. God knows all about us. For me, it's very liberating to know that in spite of all the weaknesses that I may have, the ones that I can see, let alone the ones that you can see, and the ones that he sees and knows for a fact, and he still loves me and trusts me. Jesus knew all of his disciples' humanity. He knows all about us. He knows the worst, and he still loves us, and he still trusts us. And the enemy of our soul comes to condemn us and to say, look what you did. How can God now love you? He loves me regardless of what I do when he sent Jesus to the cross to die for the very sins that we feel condemned by the enemy of our souls. It's quite possible, you know, for someone for you and I maybe to forgive somebody, but it's not that easy for us to forgive and forget. We usually can forgive, but forgetting is so hard. And for sure, it's so hard for us to be prepared to give this person or trust this person again. And yet, this is exactly what the Lord does in your life, in my life, because he knows all about you. Did you know that when you came to know Christ, he knew everything about you? And did you know that he also knows all about what's going to happen tomorrow that you have no idea, and yet he loves you? Because it's not about what we do, it's what Christ has done for us. Jesus said to his disciples, I know that in your weakness you will desert me. To his disciples, nevertheless, I'm going to tell you something. You are more than conquerors through me. It just baffles the imagination. It's just so inconceivable for us to think that it's not up to us. It was all up to God, and he did it through Christ. And that you and I can have a life of grace. So, I don't think there is another passage in Scripture where forgiveness and trust go together so much, so much. What a lesson. Jesus teaches us to forgive and to trust those who are guilty of failure. Maybe we should all just find a place to kneel and cry. Because often we try to prove to God how good we really are, and we're not. Now, that does not give you and I room to go out there and do wrong things. No, of course not. Grace is not given to you or to me so we as a license for sinning, but grace covers us when we do sin. Four things I want to mention in this passage. And you look so gloomy, and I thought you were going to be so happy. Listen, if you did not know that God knew all about you, then I don't know what world you're living in. God knows all about you. It was just the other day, I don't know what day of the week it was. You know, you get all those crazy phone calls and messages and stuff like that. And one of them came through my phone and said, "We know all about you, and we know what your need is." I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." They were trying to sell me a special soap and cream for the face. But the Lord knows all about you. And he still loves you. And if that's not humbling, I don't know what else can be humbled in our lives today. Well, four things. First of all, Jesus in this passage tells us that he's going to be left alone. He's going to experience loneliness. And yet, he was never alone. And just like you and I, you know, we have moments of great loneliness. When everybody around us, the disciples, he says, the time is coming, you will be scattered, each one of you. You're all going to take off. You're going to leave me. I'm going to be left all alone. And there are moments in our life as we serve God that we are all alone. All alone. He was left alone to himself, his followers. But at the same time, he says, I'm not, because the Father is me. The Lord is with me. And I want you to know that when you and I go through life and we go through trials and difficulties and issues that we have to wrestle with, if you stand for what is right, the Lord would always stand with you. But you're going to look around and you're going to see that there's no one there physically with you. Because being alone or being feeling lonely and being alone and looking around and not seeing anybody to support you is part of the Christian way. For there are moments in your life and in my life that we're going to stand alone. And even your best friends will not stick around. You're going to be all alone. But you and I who stand for what we believe to be God's way in our lives, you and I will never be forsaken, because the Lord says, I will never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. And you need to stand for what is right. Loneliness is part of being a Christian. Feeling like there's nobody around you, it's being a Christian. Standing for what you believe to be right. Stand for the Lord. Live for him. Oh, and yes, and the Lord knows all about that loneliness. He knows all about the things that go on in your life. And he says, yeah, alone. Yeah, I know what that is. The Lord says, I was alone too. Except the Father never left me, and you will never be left alone. It's an old song. This is the time that I wish I had the gift of singing. And you're so thankful that I know I don't have the gift of singing. I recognize it, you know. It's an old song that says, "No, never alone." And I looked it up. And the first stanza says, "I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, which tried to conquer my soul." The moments when the enemy comes and points to your life of sin and the issues of yesterday and even the issues of this morning. I don't want to get that personal or that close. And you feel the issues that are wrong with you. And then the hymn says, "And I heard the voice of my Savior. He bid me still fight on. He promised never to leave me." Never to leave me alone. And then the chorus says, "No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone." So that dirty old devil, the accuser of the brethren, that points to your faults, and they may very well be faults, You need to tell him, you know what? The Lord knows all about me, and you know what? He's never going to leave me alone. So that's the first thing I see in this passage. This is the second one. And that is also the forgiveness of Jesus. Because you see, the Lord doesn't just wink at our frailties. He forgives them. He deals with them. Jesus knew that his friends, disciples, weren't going to abandon him. But at the moment that he knew that, listen to this. He didn't reproach them. You know, we see somebody and they do something wrong and we say, ha, I knew that was going to happen. They always do that, you know. Jesus knew all about us, but he did not reproach them. And afterwards, he did not hold it against them. It's a good thing this morning to know that God loves us. And let's say the Lord loves us in all our weaknesses. Our weaknesses and our frailties and our failings, they don't diminish God's love in your life or in my life. Jesus saw them and loved them as they were. And you and I serve God as we are and not as something that we would like to be. Because we will all like to be better. We will all like to improve. But it's beyond our reach except God's grace covers that. And he forgives us of our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, sets us on the path. And though we stumble and we fall, the Lord is there with love. And he says, hey, I knew you were going to do that. Don't worry, I got it covered. But look, don't misunderstand. Love, to be love, has to be clear-sighted. In other words, you know, like how do I see? No, I can't go there because if I try to use love between us, husband or wife or couples, it's not going to work. But what is going to work is this, that God's love is such that he does not idolize us. We're not his idols. And when we idolize people and we think that they're faultless, we're doomed for disappointment. How else can I say that? You think you're perfect? Please take a look in the mirror. And if that doesn't help you, come and talk to me. Because none of us. God loves the unlovable. But he's clear-sighted. He knows exactly what he is forgiving. He is not taking away your dignity as to who you are. He's not making you into something that you're not. He looks at you as the prize of God's grace. Peter, this is going to happen. You know, Lord, everybody here is going to betray you, but I will never betray you. Peter says, listens to the voice of Jesus who says, yeah, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he knows. So love is clear-sighted. He knows all about you. And I don't want to do that much because it's awful to say it. But because we always go to the areas of our life that we're so critical. God loves all about us, knows all about us, and in spite of knowing all about us, he loves us. And get this, because he loves us, knowing who we are, we cannot disappoint God. Sheesh. No, pues si fuéramos pentecostales. We were Pentecostal, we'd be jumping up and down, and who knows what else. But it's true. It is so, and the enemy taunts us and pounds us and our own self. We condemn ourselves. We put ourselves down. But God says, you can't disappoint me. I know who you are. Hey, from day one. Yeah. So Jesus loves us as we really are. And there are no surprises. And you thought you could sneak something in, huh? You thought you could live a life, and pero no le, I'm not going to tell God about this because he doesn't know this. He knows all about you, and he says, I love you. And what's more, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Because as I look at you, you're not a disappointment to me. You're everything I knew you were is what you are. I will never, ever not love you because I love you as you really are. And I'm working in you, isn't he? He's working in our lives. He works in our hearts. It's what's called sanctification, long term. It means he draws us closer to God. And the more we draw close to God, the better we are, the better we feel. But God's already done the work. It's just a matter of putting it into practice in everyday life. So it's amazing. It's God's love in your life. He knows all about you. It's just wonderful to know that he knows all about you and he still loves you. So that's the forgiveness of Jesus. There's one couple of more. One more important one. The wisdom of Jesus. And this is important to me. Well, it's important to all of us, but this speaks to me much because he says a verse here that almost looks like it shouldn't be there because it says, I have told you this thing so that in me you may have peace. I asked myself the question, why is that there? Well, it doesn't seem to make any connection with the verses before that, but it does. It makes a lot of sense. I said this to you that you may have this peace. This is the way I catch it is this. Because Jesus foretold the disciples of their weakness. When the disciples fell in weakness, if they had not heard that from the Lord, they could have driven themselves into utter despair. The Lord was ahead of the game. And he says, look, I know all about you. And when things go wrong in your life, remember that I told you so. And I want you to have peace because you're not surprising me. I know all about it. I know all about it. Don't despair because the issues that you go through today are all issues that he has made provisions at Calvary. We come to him with our weaknesses, with our failings, with our remorses, with our conscience that sometimes feels guilty. And there's a passage in Hebrews where it speaks that we must enter into his presence, into the throne of grace. And in as we enter into his presence, we're sprinkled with the blood. This is symbolic, of course, sprinkled with his blood to remove and to heal our conscience. Our conscience need to understand the power of the blood of Jesus. We must not have our conscience to be trespassed. The conscience is not the ultimate, by the way, the conscience, your conscience, my conscience, that's not the ultimate arbiter of truth. This is the ultimate arbiter of truth. It's not what I feel in my conscience, it's what the Word of God says. And sometimes our conscience is too human. And we beat ourselves and we hurt ourselves, but the sprinkling of the blood upon your heart cleanses you, is renewed every day. Every day we need the cleansing power of the Lord in our hearts to see us and for us to understand how he knows all about us, and yet he loves us. When we fail, oh yeah. Of course, I'm talking to people who have never failed in their lives, you know. But Jesus, in this passage, let me read it to you. It's as he said, I know what's going to happen. You must not think that your disloyalty came as a shock to me. I knew it was coming. and it does not make any difference to my love. When you think about it afterwards, don't despair. Shall I read that again? Jesus is saying in this verse, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. What he really said is, I know what's going to happen. You must not think that your disloyalty came to me as a shock. I knew it was coming, and it does not make any difference to my love. When you think about it afterwards, don't despair. Oh my, how much I need to hear that myself. The older I get, the more I need to hear this. My days are coming to an end eventually, about 25. And some of you look at me laughing. Our days are coming to an end and we'll have to give an account to the Lord. But I think the account of the Lord is not for my sins, but how I have lived for his will. And how I have given of myself to do what he called me to do. Obedience to the known will of God in my life. I will have to give an account to that. But it has nothing to do with heaven or hell. So here we find divine pity and forgiveness. The Lord says, you know, I'm saying this to you because it's not so much how I, as God's son, will feel about what you've done wrong. My concern is how that you've done something wrong and it will hurt you. Because I'm not hurt in the sense that I understand this is possible, but I don't want you to be so guilt-ridden that you are miserable. Because I want you to know, though it's not right what you've done, I'm not surprised, and there is forgiveness. John said it later, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all disrighteousness. One more, and then that's it. Because these are the concepts of the thoughts that I'm presenting to you. They need to filter down. They need to get inside of your heart. And only the Holy Spirit can do that in your life. But for you to walk away this Sunday morning from church saying, I couldn't surprise God, but he surprised me with his grace. I think if that's how you walk away this morning, you've succeeded in God's purposes in your life. So the last thing Jesus says, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Knowing who we are, knowing exactly where we're coming from, knowing that the disciples were going to forsake him and leave him and all of that stuff, he says, I want to give you a gift. I want to do two things. I'm going to give you two things. I want you to have courage, and I want you to be a conqueror. Think of it. And this is exactly what happened to Jesus was the worst that could ever happen. And yet, as they saw what Jesus was going through, and it did not defeat him, the disciples said to themselves, my goodness, because he lives, we live. Because he had victory, we have victory. See, it's not up to us. It's always up to God working in our lives. So this morning, you and I need to receive this gift of courage and conquest. Because the Lord has given us everything we need to live right lives, good lives. And in spite of our fallings and in spite of our insecurities and in spite of the issues that we wrestle with day and night, the Lord is not surprised by them, but gives us strength to be courageous and to pursue, because his victory becomes our victory. One more paragraph. I'd like to read this. I wrote it and I need to read it. The victory which I will win can be your victory too, Jesus says. The world did its worst to Jesus, but Jesus emerged victoriously. He goes, life can do its worst to you. If we were to take and make an analysis as to where you've been in this world, I think we'll all be shocked to see from where the Lord pulled us out. But in spite of where you've been, because Christ went through hell for you, because Christ died on the cross for you, because Christ rose from the dead, you can submerge and come back as victorious. Remember last week we said, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it to you. Peace is something that God gives to you, grants to you. It's not something that you earn. It's not the accumulation of brownie buttons. It's not a checklist. It's something he gives to you. The same way he gives us victory. My victory is your victory. You and I need to have this courage to see that God is working in our lives. That you and I possess the courage and the conquest of the cross. That what he went through is like we had gone through. That you and I have victory in our walk with the Lord. There's a question that they asked St. Paul. It had to do with the life of forgiveness and the life of sin and the life of the Christian. And he says that, men can really sin. Men and women can really sin really bad. And there's some times that you look at sin and you say, wow, it's abundant, man. Look at this sinner. Ooh. Look at that. And Paul says, yeah, but where there was sin, grace abounded more. There is nothing you can do to overpower, overrun God's grace. There's nothing that far gone that grace can't cover it. There's nothing you have ever done in this life that there is no forgiveness for. And you sometimes beat yourself because you're trying to reach your own way of salvation. No, it's already there. Receive the courage and receive the victory of Jesus. And say, as Jesus lived, I live. This passage again surprises me when it says, now you believe. You need to believe that he is in your life. And that he's not accusing you or putting you down. But everything wrong in your life does not come to God as a surprise. And everything wrong that you've done in your past, your present, or your future is covered by the Lord. He loves you. Isn't that wonderful news? I think it's the greatest news in the world. Yeah. Creo que tengo un montón de momias aquí. You know? I mean, it's amazing when you look at theological truths, when you look at biblical truths, and that they actually are applicable to your daily life, and they cause you to walk differently, behave differently, think differently. It's a lifestyle. A lifestyle that can only be acquired as you come to Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And then the work begins. The Spirit of God comes to dwell in you. It comes in there. And you're sealed. And you belong to God. And then the process of getting to know how to live the Christian life, how to apply God's word. And this is not just any old word. This is the word of God. God wrote this. 60-some books were written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is remarkable. You read God's word and it's just shocking to see how it speaks to you and how it continues to speak to you. And that's how you understand what it means to be a Christian. and to live for the glory of God. Lord, I thank you this Sunday morning, because if anything, you knew us before the foundations of the world, and you loved us. So this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here in doubt as to your forgiveness, if there's anybody here in doubt as to how you remake and you cause us to be reborn, Father, let this morning be a morning of settling in our hearts, that though we may not love ourselves, you love us, and you love us with an everlasting life. A life that never stops, a life that never ever will diminish. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would strengthen our resolve to serve you. And we break the bondage of the enemy that causes us to think negatively towards you. You're a God of love, a God of compassion. In the name of Jesus, set us free to serve you. Amen, Lord, and amen. Amen. Shall we stand, please?
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know.
Remember that the enemy of your soul will always accuse you of things that the Lord has already dealt with. Must not pay attention to that. Must pay attention to God's love in your life and the mission that God has given you. Because the enemy of our souls will do everything it can to move us away from doing what God wants you to do. We're talking about feeding the hungry. We're talking about missionary trips. We're talking about days of prayer. We're talking about intercessory times for our schools, our teachers. I mean, that's what we need to deploy our energies and not feeling sorry for ourselves or feel like we can't do something God called us we should do. So you've got to stand up straight. Thank you. Stand up straight. Don't have a pity party. Be courageous. Be victorious, because he's made you that way. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. God bless you. You're dismissed. Go in the peace of God. Amen.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the whole service with the worship time included, you can visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.